Good morning to everybody. Today's scripture reading is from Luke 19, chapter 19, verses 28 to 44. Luke 19, 28 to 44. In the Pew Bible, it's 1128, page 1128. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at a hill called the Mountain of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter in, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, The Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone another because you didn't recognize the time of God's coming to you." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, dear Savior, it's so hard reading these verses and knowing that one day we are so happy about you. We cheer about you. And just a few days after, we crucify you. And God, it's like that in our everyday life. Please forgive us. Thank you for your unbounded mercy that you gave us. Thank you for your big, big God, very big heart for us. Please bless us. Bless the prayer. Bless the words that the pastor will put in front of us. Only on your name. Amen.
Thank you. Just sitting here this morning, I went back in my life into my past, and I remembered as a child when I was in Athens, Greece, the Armenian Evangelical Church, every Palm Sunday they would give us little branches of olive tree branches. In Greece they are available. Here you can't find them. And we would just march or at least parade into the church and go to the front. And the whole thing was very nice and would sort of prepare the mood for people to listen to the message. Well, you know what? Palm Sunday often has become a time of rejoicing and celebrating and giving children branches and things, and the churches to prepare the building and prepare the church and prepare the messages to celebrate the coming of the King or a triumphal entry of the King. But of course, the problem is when we do so much about the backdrop, we forget to look at the center of the whole day, actually, who that is Jesus himself. I believe that a better name given to the Palm Sunday would be, or is, the triumphal entry. And that is, for some people, they may feel that's ironic, because what triumphal entry? A man sitting on a donkey coming into a city? Well, actually, a donkey was used in the past by God. And when the prophet was not listening to what God was saying, the donkey spoke to him. And I have a picture in my office. I removed it recently. It was a picture of a donkey, and big like this, a donkey. And underneath said, if God can use a donkey, surely can use me too. And that's how it is. If God can use a donkey, then he can use every one of us for his glory. This event is recorded by all the gospel writers, actually. It was about 5 days before Passover. Passover was the most important feast. Hundreds of thousands of pilgrims would come to Jerusalem to worship. And there you had the Greeks, the Greek Jews, and you had the Egyptian Jews and Jews from all around the country and outside the country coming in to celebrate Passover. This event was celebrated greatly, and people would come to be part of that celebration. Passover was one of the most important feasts. From triumphal entry to Palm Sunday's tears, we see in the Bible. Verse 41 says, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Let's look at some of the reasons why our Lord wept. And you're saying, you may say, or someone may say, okay, now, you're going to talk about weeping and crying while we thought you'll be speaking of Palm Sunday, wonderful, beautiful feelings and welcoming the King. Our brother Rudy in his prayer said they were shouting Hosanna and praise the Lord, and then a couple of days later they crucified him and shouting crucify him, crucify him. Jesus was entering the city of Jerusalem, and Jesus sitting on a donkey coming toward the city saw the city, and he realized that his 2 or 3 days would be spent in that city, and he also knew what kind of a condition the city was, and Jesus wept. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about that, and I said, Jesus actually had a choice. He could have destroyed the city. He could have turned around and walked away from the city. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy that ungrateful city, but the only thing he did was weep over the city. First, he sees beyond the pleasantries and superficialities. Jesus can see beyond our smiles and laughs and shouts and praise the Lord. He saw the city. Actually, he saw the hearts of those in the city. It wasn't the city itself. Wasn't how clean or how beautiful or how the streets were decorated. He saw the hearts of the people in that particular city. And he saw the corruption, and he saw the hypocrisy, and he saw the things that were occupying their minds. And he also saw their stubbornness not to accept him as their king, as their Messiah. So much in the world is superficial today. Beautiful Jerusalem and breathtaking view. He could have looked at that city and say, oh, I've created this. I've created actually everything. And he could have felt good for creating all this beautiful scenery. But he wept. Because he also had created the human and men and women, and he saw their hearts from what he had intended for them. What he had intended for them was to be beauty and holiness and actually a celebration of life rather than corruption. The pomp and ceremony of the occasion did not excite him at all. Those shouts of Hosanna, praise the Lord, sounded so hollow and so empty and so hypocritical. I believe every Hosanna and praise the Lord shouted came to him like a shout of crucify him. He could hear in their voices that what which was going to come in a few days. And I suppose today every time we say hallelujah and praise the Lord, we must always mean it, or else God knows our hearts and he knows whether it's something that's for public consumption or for the Lord. But Jesus sees behind this outward beauty. What he sees makes him weep. He wept. He could have been angry and upset, but he was brokenhearted. This morning we were studying in the adult class about the joy of our salvation, or the joy of being saved, or the joy of seeing people being saved. And we read a verse that said, do not put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we asked the question, how can we do that? How can we make the Holy Spirit sad? Well, you can break God's heart by disobeying him. Is he grieved at what he sees in your life, in my life? Does he look into your life this morning and he sees beyond the pleasantry of singing and praising? And does he see a broken heart? Does he see a rebellious heart? Does he see an unbelieving heart? He sees beyond the outward in a church. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 2, we read, Jesus said, I know your works, and I know that all of us know the letters that Jesus or God sent to the seven churches. And we know that some churches were doing well and others were not doing well at all. Some churches had a lot of activities, but these activities were empty activities because they had walked away from the love of God. They had forgot, they had left their first love. Others were living lukewarm lives. And Jesus could see all that. And I'm sure Jesus could see the hearts of those in Jerusalem. He sees beyond the outward in our lives, the facade that hides inward sin. And the other day or yesterday, someone was talking with me and we were discussing what's coming out from places that you never expected. Directors of big organizations being imprisoned, leaders, spiritual leaders being caught doing illegal activities, a governor having to resign because of sinful things, and priests and pastors and elders and deacons and Christians being exposed of sin. And I don't believe there is one of us that can say that I've never done anything that could being exposed, I would be ashamed of. I believe every one of us. I was sharing this thought this morning also. Yesterday I was thinking of the verse, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, And actually, thinking about that verse for a little while, I said, you know what? That verse should, for me at least, should be like this. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. Because I believe every one of us breaks God's laws, either by being angry or saying something nasty, or by deceiving someone, or whatever sin we commit. And so I said, we all sin daily, actually, and come short of the glory of God. And if it wasn't for His grace, and if it wasn't for His love, and if it wasn't for His concern, we would have been condemned by now. The smile that hides inward tears, Christ can see the heart. Often we are in a very terrible mood, maybe in a terrible mood, or something terrible has happened and we're not in the mood, and somebody comes to our door and rings the bell. We open the door and we give a terrific smile most of the time. Or you come to church after having an argument or a fight or something has gone wrong at home, and then somebody comes to shake your hand and you just give them a great big smile. But Christ can see the heart. And often Christ, God Himself, will join you in your suffering by being partaker of your suffering. He sympathizes. The word sympathy or sympathize in Greek means, sin means together, pathos means suffering. So Jesus co-suffers with us. The cheerful greeting that hides pain is always there, and Christ knows it. Your future can be greater than your past, actually. Your future can be greater than your past if you allow God to control it. Then we see things that have disturbed us in the past. When Christ comes into my life and your life, and we share those things that have disturbed us, He is able to change them and give us a new beginning. He cares about our pain. And the verse 41 says, and wept over it. He could have been brokenhearted, but not weep. Why am I saying He cares about our pains? Was it not His primary concern over their sins when He wept for them? Did He cry, as I said before, for the city, for the condition of the housing, or the lack of transportation or water? No, He wept because of their sinful way of life. Yes, but sin brings pain. From the first sin in the Garden of Eden to this day, every act of sin and disobedience brings pain. All sin has negative consequences. And again, if you look at what's happening in the world today, what's happening in our city today, what's happening in our homes today, you will realize that most of our failures are the result of wanting to have more pleasure, more things, more pride, more money, more pleasure, physical pleasure. And then you enjoy that moment or two, and then you realize that it's empty. This gentleman, this governor, I'm sure, did not plan to be impeached or resign, but that thought that came into his mind, that comes into your mind and my mind, has to be rejected and removed, or else that will stay there and we'll start enjoying that thought. That fantasy will become reality, and when the fantasy becomes reality, leads us into sin, and sin brings death. Do you think we can get away with sin? Do you think you can get away with sin? We cannot sin and win. We lose every time. The books you read, the lust you tolerate, the stories you tell, the lies, wasting your time and life doing things that edify neither God nor those around you, will bring pain. And once again, I would like to acknowledge the fact that I'm not talking about happy stuff here. I'm not talking about branches and hallelujahs and praise the Lord, although all these things did take place that day. But I'm looking a little deeper than that. I'm looking into the heart of Jesus when He was coming into the city, and when He was listening to the hosannas, I'm sure His heart was broken because he could see all that was taking place in the city of Jerusalem, in that country and in the world, and he was heartbroken. The Lord knows our full potential. Verse 42 says, if you had only known, if you had only known, they had no excuse because they knew Jesus had come, Jesus had talked to them, Jesus had healed their sick, Jesus had fed them, Jesus was talking about eternal life, Jesus was talking about forgiveness of sin, Jesus forgave the prostitute and told her to go and sin no more, Jesus healed the sick, and yet their hearts had become hardened. And they did not realize that the Messiah had come. God himself had come. He says, if you had only known, O Jerusalem, if you had only known what you might have become, you might have become the city of blessings. Instead, you have become a city of war and grief. Until today, this city is a city of grief. Until today, until yesterday, until the day before yesterday, and until I don't know when, that city will be in turmoil. People are trying to bring peace in that area, in that city, if you wish, Jerusalem. And yet, no matter how hard they try, bombs are coming down, explosions, killing. Until today, this city is a city of grief. Jesus knows our full potential, your full potential. There are said words, these said words, you might have become or you might have been, are very, very heavy words to listen to. You may have been, I may have become someone other than who I am right now. If I had only listened and obeyed Jesus. He knows what you can achieve. Do not underestimate God. He knows you. Have you blown it? We all have done something wrong. I have blown many occasions, many opportunities to do better in my life. And then I look back and I say, oh man, what a stupid decision not to do it or to do it. But God is always there to give you a better future. A great future beats a great past every time. If you allow God to control it. He wishes to give us peace. In verse 42, we read, if you had only known what would bring you peace. If you had only known what would bring you peace. Do you have peace this morning? Do I have peace? And if we don't have peace, why don't we have peace? Because we have not heard that He brings peace in our lives. Is it because no one told us that He is the Prince of Peace? Is it because that we don't know what the truth is? Or is it because it's very difficult for us to understand God and His plans for our life? This morning, the teacher of the little children was coming up the stairs, and she was saying, I give up. The children were asking me to explain to them Jesus is God and the Holy Spirit and how, and I had a tough time, and I couldn't explain that to them. Well, actually, she's not the only one, because no one of us can explain who God actually is and how He is. We can quote the Bible, we can come up with examples, the egg or the water and all kinds of examples, but we can never do justice to the person of God. God, the Bible says God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in the spirit and truth. And who am I, and I've said this many times from this pulpit, who am I to be able to explain to you exactly how the triune God is? But we believe God is one, and we believe that Jesus is God, and we believe the Holy Spirit is God, But how to explain it is not for me, or no one can. Again, there are all kinds of examples. Someone sent me an email, said the only way, the best way of explaining it is the egg. And you know, and I looked at that. Yeah, it's pretty close, but it's not. You can't. Now you can buy actually eggs in a carton that the white is removed, or is it the yolk removed? And some, and so what? We're gonna now package God in different persons. As a matter of fact, there are those who believe that they are Jesus only people who believe only in Jesus, and they don't want to talk about God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But God is one. This is a miracle. This is the wonderful thing about not knowing exactly how God is. Because if I could explain it to you, then I would be able to say that I am like God. I know exactly how God is. What would bring you peace? If you only knew what would bring you peace. Peace, what good word it is. Jerusalem means city of peace. But war was waiting in the wings, verses 43, 44. And this prophecy was fulfilled when the Romans took Jerusalem in 70 AD using an embankment to take the city, as it was predicted by Jesus in verses 43, 44, and repeated in Luke 21, 20. Let's look at them. And I'm reading Luke 19, verse 43. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. And then Luke 21, 20 says, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that it is its dissolution is near. Why? Because they rejected him and ignored him. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said these words, and today are absolutely true, as if he said these words about 5 years ago or 10 years ago. In conclusion, I would like to remind you that Jesus entered Jerusalem to bring peace and salvation to all those who would invite him in their lives and hearts. But the people did not want him. They had no room for him in their daily schedules. And I'm sure you've said at least once or twice in your life, oh, I'm too busy now, I'm going to do this or that. I don't have time for God. Well, I'll do it next time. And we all have problems, I believe, in prioritizing our activities when it comes to spirituality. And I would like to close with two or three verses from 1 John. We read 1 John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. We read, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. These are in John chapter 10, chapter 1, verse 10, before Jesus had died. So Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem, and people are welcoming him, but they're not welcoming the Messiah. They're not welcoming the Savior. They're not welcoming God. They are welcoming a political leader. They thought Jesus is coming in as a politician to take over the country or the government, and these people wanted to be on the side of that government. But Jesus knew their hearts. Jesus knew their desires. Jesus knew their unbelief. And he wept. Yes, today is Palm Sunday. We are welcoming, well, at least churches will be celebrating the triumphal entry of Jesus. Triumphal entry to what? To die for our sins. He came as a prince, like a king, and he was crucified like a criminal, so we will be forgiven from our sins and make peace with God, our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming to this earth to make it possible for us to reconnect with you. Lord, the human mind and heart cannot understand. The human heart and mind finds all this illogical. But you said, unless we become like little children, we will not be able to inherit eternal life. And this morning we surrender our will to you. At least all of us who will surrender our will to you, you'll bless each one of us, strengthen each one of us, and give us a new beginning, a new start, to continue our journey of life, the spiritual journey of life on this earth. Please touch each one of us and strengthen us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.